Oh, my goodness. I can't say much, man. We're 2-0. There's only been 2 weeks, but for some reason, you guys are 6-0 because you're that team that counts the preseason. You're funny. He's unbelievable. That's my sponsor right there. Hey. Hey, come on. Let's look at this. Come on. If you would turn with me, please, two places. We're in this series called Lead with Grace. Oh. I love that. Woo! Come on, Bart. Hey, we're going to have a service today. Man, I'm pumped about today, and I'm pumped about this series, Lead with Grace, because we're going to go through these amazing pictures of grace. And we're going to come to a place today to see this amazing, beautiful picture of what grace looks like. And honestly, we're going to see grace through from Christ to a prostitute. And then we're going to look at the righteous ones, the religious leaders, the Pharisees of the day, and how they saw this woman compared to how Christ saw this woman, and how do you think we're supposed to act towards people who are hurting and broken? Or maybe we ourselves are in this place hurting and broken, and this is what I know, for by grace you have been saved. Man, there is this place of his extended grace. There is this place of that which is unearned and undeserved, that we don't even deserve his grace. This prostitute didn't deserve his grace any more than you and I ever deserved his grace. And shame on us if we think we're up here because now we're saved. And look at those who are not yet saved and we think we have something more than them. That's religion. And that's what the Pharisees do. And we're going to come to this place today. I'm going to do my best to communicate this, just in a way that we walk out this place different. Challenged, convicted, changed. We walk out this place even knowing, watch this, we walk out this place even knowing that my past has been cleaned. To know what it means to the sins that we have and the sins that we've had and the life that we lived. Come to understand there's no shame, there's no guilt, and to know what it looks like through the eyes of Christ towards you and I. Maybe other people look at you differently, but how does Christ see you? What does eyes look like for you? And I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those mornings, and if you would just give me some time, man, we're going to minister today, and I believe this. I believe every one of us can walk out of this place different. I've had a heck of a week of prep. I mean, it's been moments of just tears. It's been moments of joy. It's been moments of anger, all in preparation for today. Because you see, I did something. I went in, and when you start looking at the life of the prostitute here, and we'll get into this in a minute, and you can turn with me, please, to Luke 2. And you're going to see something here of a broken woman. You see, I went into a study this week that it made me cry, and then it made me mad. Because these are very real people. These are very real. They're not just characters in a book. These are real people. And the woman we're going to talk about today was a prostitute. And honestly, you try to put yourself in the high heels of a prostitute. Oh, this kind of got deep quick, but usually this is where I tell a joke, but I don't know where we're at right now, but this is the deal. What happens when you find yourself to try to begin to look at the heels of a prostitute and kind of put yourself in her shoes? And I went in and I started finding these amazing testimonies and stories of those who were once prostitutes and what it meant to get out of that lifestyle. And what does it look like for a woman to give her body up for sale? And there's these stories If I look at them as God's creation, man, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the abuse that they would take and the things that they would have to do, and the things that they would go through, the betrayal, the hurt, the brokenness, the shame, the guilt, the judgment. And they would go into these stories that I was just, honestly, I was brought to a place of weeping, and then I was brought to a place to just, the police in me wanted to come out and go do what we can do for those who had caused this abuse. I'm telling you, you just try to put yourself in her shoes just for a moment. In church, we can't pretend. Please hear me. When you're talking about leading with grace, we can't pretend to know the hurts and pains of another person. I don't know what this person goes through. I don't know why they're broken like this. I don't know why they're in the place or the position they're in. I don't know the shame or the guilt that they're feeling. I don't know what took place to get them into that. I don't know where they're at. I don't know how it got there. I don't know their pain. I don't know their shame. I don't know their position in life. I don't know the betrayal. I don't know their relationships. But man, we walk in this place to realize people are hurting and broken. And as the church, are we going to be like Jesus and lead with grace? Or are we going to be like the Pharisee and look with eyes of judgment when we have no idea what they've gone through? We have no idea why they're in the place that they're in. But we can get this picture. If you would just stop and maybe try to put yourself in their shoes just for a minute. And then look at how Christ responds to this lady. I'm like, oh God, help me. Help me to respond like that. And I pray for this church. We have the best church on the planet. And I love it that we have people that walk in this place. And by the time they get to the coffee or by the time they get to their seat for the first time, they feel like they're family. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what they smell like. Nobody's looking at skin. They walk in this place and I hear it. They feel like they're family. And we're here. Guess what? Guess what? We're here to win the hurting and the broken. We're here to lead with grace in this church. We're not here to look down on people. And I speak this with a great sense of excitement that this is, church, I read this and I see this in us. I see this as a church that we want the hurting and broken. We want those who are struggling in lifestyle sin. We want those who walk in this place to feel like we love them. Because please hear this, you can come as you are, but please don't think that we can stay as we are in Christ. There's a change that takes place. And you see throughout the New Testament, you and I are called and commanded to love like Christ loved. We're going to see a picture through the series, these different pictures of grace. And every one of them I want us to attach ourselves to and look at. And we look at this. If you would just turn with me to Luke, please. Luke 7. Amazing. It says this. Start right in 36. And you've got to understand there's three players here. You've got the Pharisee, you've got Jesus, and then you've got this immoral woman. And I love, please hear this. Maybe we're in a place today and we struggled in our past. Maybe even morally. This is a woman who is immoral. This is a woman who is a prostitute. She gave herself, whether she was a widow, whether she had lost all her sons. Most of the time in this day, a woman had to go into that career, so to speak, of a way to live, just a way to live. Can't eat unless I do this. There's no, and you got to remember, this was a day and age where there was no rights to women. There was no voting. You were considered property, unfortunately and shamefully. So a woman, could you imagine in this day where this woman came into a place, she had no man, she had no sons to take care of her. For whatever reason, her only option was to sell herself as property. And then you have the Pharisee. By the way, the Pharisee was kind of like the religious leaders. This was a group of men that would teach in the synagogues. This is a group of men that would maybe, in a little bit, kind of be considered the pastors of the day. But they came up with their rules and regulations. And here, this is a season now, just to catch you up. Like, Jesus was on a place where he already started his ministry and he was making a name for himself. And there were people who were following Jesus now. And there was the sense of what it meant for these people to walk in a way, to follow Jesus Christ, right? And the Pharisees were getting jealous and the Pharisees were getting mad because the Pharisees had these set of rules that you had to be this, and this to be right. And Jesus came in and kind of broke those rules. Jesus came in and kind of shattered the thoughts and the ideas of you had to do this, and this. Jesus said, no, it's really actually by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Guess what? It's only a gift of God. Nobody's going to get there to heaven and say, I did this. Absolutely not. But that was the Pharisee way that they would look down on those who were in sin, going, you're not good enough. And Jesus came in and broke the rules, and they hated Christ. They hated Jesus. And every time they could, they would try to be around him in order to trap him, in order to find themselves in a place to catch him. And here, this is one of those instances. We see this in verse 36, Luke 7, 36 says this. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting Jesus to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. I love this. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined. You got to get this picture because, you know, they did not really walk in Nikes or shoes or socks. They wore sandals, and the roads were filthy and dirty, and they were nasty and filled with donkey poop and all kind of nastiness, horse poop, and just you would walk on this and your feet became disgustingly gross. True story. And say, when they say they reclined at the table, the reality is, when you study this, why is it that they would lay in such a place? The type of table was a ground table that they would lay with their feet away from the food, kind of lay on their side, and they would have these conversations, and then they would dine. It's because they wanted their feet as far away from the table as possible. But a sign of honoring your guests was when they came in to your home, you would have a servant that would wash their feet and clean their feet and do their very best to get the feet clean as a symbol and a place of honor that I've invited you into my home. And this is how I want to show honor to you. And we're going to have my servant clean your feet, and they're going to anoint your head with oil, with a type of perfume. And then you can come sit at our table. That's the custom. That's how you would honor a guest. And you see this dinner party, so to speak. There's this invited guest, and there's this Pharisee with his crew, and Jesus is invited in. And a lot of times what would take place at these dinners is like it would be not just a eat and run. It's not fast food. It's not McDonald's. It's a big meal, and you would sit down and you would take your time. When you recline at a table, you sit and you eat and you're patient and you talk. And it was these moments that they would discuss politics and they would discuss theology and they would discuss teaching. And they invited Jesus into this, not because they cared about Jesus, but they wanted to trap Jesus. You see, when Jesus entered his house, this is kind of the story. Nobody did anything for Jesus. These other guests are being honored. These other guests are having their feet washed and they're being having their head anointed with oil. But Jesus comes and nobody serves Jesus. No servant came to Jesus to wipe his feet. No servant came to Jesus to anoint his head. They disgraced Jesus even on the invite to his home. And then it happened. And you got to understand something, because the Pharisees didn't like Jesus hanging out with sinners. The Pharisees didn't like Jesus spending time with prostitutes and spending time with tax collectors. And tax collectors were kind of top of the list because they were liars and cheaters. And they would charge you above and beyond anything that you were supposed to give for taxes. They were just really, really ruthless. Bad people were tax collectors, and you see them attached to sinners. And you see where Jesus had this reputation. Now listen, you can have a reputation of being with sinners. If you're acting like the sinner, that's a bad reputation. But if you and I want to be like Jesus to hang out with the sinners so we can win the sinner, there's going to be people that are going to talk about that. Listen, are we going to look like Jesus and act like Jesus? Man, and the Pharisees would take a rip, man. Why is he spending time with the sinners? Why is he hanging with the strippers? Why is he with the tax collectors? Keep your finger right there, please. We got it, because this is a huge part of the story, just so you know. In Mark 2, this is a great piece. I love this. Mark 2, verse 13 says this, "And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi," that's Matthew, he became one of the disciples. Matthew was a tax collector. And Jesus said, "Hey, follow me." So Matthew put down the taxes, followed him. Matthew invited Jesus over to his house. Verse 15, it happened that Jesus was reclining at the table in Matthew's house, and many, watch this, many, like there was these people that Jesus was known, and people came to Jesus. What type of people came to Jesus? The sinners, the prostitutes, the strippers, the tax collectors. These are the type of people that hung out with Jesus. Watch, this is huge though. You got to see this. Then it happened, many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, watch that, many of them, and they were following him. And when the scribes, here it is, when the scribes and the Pharisees, when you see scribes and Pharisees, put yourself as religious people. There's a do's and don'ts list. This is who you're supposed to be. If you can't follow our rules, you're out. These are the Pharisees, the religious leaders. When the scribes and Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And after hearing this, Jesus said to them, I love this. Jesus is right there. Don't you hate it when somebody talks around you when you're right there? Jesus is right there. And they're like sidestep Jesus to talk to his disciples. Hey, why is Jesus hanging out with the sinners? Why is he hanging out with the prostitutes? Why is Jesus hanging out with the strippers? Why is Jesus hanging out with the tax collectors? Then it's funny because Jesus is right there and hearing this going, hey, whoop, I'm right here. You don't have to talk around me. I can speak for myself. And look at what he says. This is huge. And after hearing this, Jesus said to them, It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. It's like you saying, why is that doctor always around sick people? Because the doctor can heal the sick people. You don't need to go to the doctor if you're healthy. Why is Jesus always around the sinners? Why is Jesus always around those who truly the religious folk have cast to the side? Going back to Luke. And you see this picture here. And I love this because it says this. And when he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table, verse 37, and there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster veil of perfume and standing behind him at his feet, weeping. This is, please get the picture. This isn't like a couple tissue weeping. This is a couple boxes of tissues. Like she's gone. She has lost it. It's described as her soul fell apart to tears. That's what this type of weeping, this is where this broken woman is. She comes to this place that this isn't just a sniffle. This isn't just a couple tears. This is one of those you use up a couple rolls of toilet paper or you use up a couple boxes of tissues and your soul just kind of opens up. And these are soul tears. This is where she's at. And I love it. Watch, this is amazing. Watch this. This is incredible to know the boldness of this woman. Why did she feel so comfortable going to Jesus? How could she find her way to know? Listen, Jesus is in that religious man's house, and I know what he thinks of me, but I know I need to get to Jesus' feet. Look at what she does. This is amazing. And standing behind him, at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair and her head and kissing, watch this, kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Can I ask you like a real question? How many people's feet have you really kissed? Not in a hypothetical way, but I'm talking about in a real way where you actually made out with their big toe. I don't know. Like, even if you're married, do you kiss your husband's feet or do you? But this is, I know that's funny and gross at the same time, but don't make out with the big toe. I don't know where that came. Anyways, but this is, and you got to remember, no one honored Christ. His feet were nasty. His feet were filthy. His feet were dirty, and she saw that. And here she's weeping so many tears that she didn't have a basin of water. It was with her tears and it was with her hair. And she got to a place to kiss his feet in a place of honor and respect, to clean his feet because no one else would. But this is where this woman is. And watch this. This is amazing. Look at the religious response. Now when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner or that she is immoral or that she is a prostitute. Like you got to see this, because here you're having this dinner party and the dinner's about over and now they're starting to have conversation. And then all of a sudden this woman shows up. And she just comes right into the door, right? Whether she was dressed like a prostitute, we don't know. Maybe that was her clothes. Maybe that's all she had. She comes in her broken place, man. She comes in her broken spirit. She comes in as one who has truly been used and abused. She comes in as one who's walking in the high heels. And she comes in and she just goes right into this Pharisee's house. Well, what was the discussion around there? There's many people at this table, right? What was their minds going? What was their discussion? Like everybody knew her. She was a woman of the city. They knew who she was. They knew that she was a prostitute, right? What was everyone's comments? Like all eyes are on her going, who invited her? Hey, honey, this isn't that kind of party. I don't know who you invited, but there's no dances here. Like this is, you're in the wrong house. Maybe the neighbor next door called you. Wrong place, wrong time. But you think. Because we see that the Pharisee had thoughts. She is a prostitute. And if he only knew who was touching him, he's not a prophet. But I love that we see she pays no mind to who's in that room except one. She's not concerned about the thoughts of the Pharisee. She's not concerned about anyone else at that table. The Bible says she heard that Jesus went to the Pharisee's house. And she's like, I got to get to that place. Yeah, but you, like, maybe she has a friend going, you can't just walk in there. What are you talking about? Like, they're all, like, that's the religious house. Now, listen, they look down on you. They think you're just a sinner. They don't want to have any association with you. Why are you going there? Because Jesus is there. That's where grace is. That's where I need to get to. I need to get to his feet. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't care what the Pharisee thinks. I don't care what the religious people think. What I know is I know that I need to get to him. And she finds herself in the most beautiful place. Right at the feet of Jesus. Not caring what anyone else thinks. And you see, come on, you see something so beautiful here. You see this picture of passion from her. And it's not a lustful passion. It's not a erotic passion. It's passion from a broken woman. The one who would show her so much grace and so much love. And we see where this is this amazing picture where I love where the Pharisee pipes up and says, hey, if he only knew. And then Jesus answers him and says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Jesus knew exactly what Simon was saying. He knew his thoughts. But you know what's amazing? Come on, church, you see this amazing picture unfold. You know who the one person is that doesn't say a word? This broken woman. We don't see her say a word. We see her come into this house and beeline for Jesus. Amidst all the conversation that's taking place, she gets right to the feet of Jesus. She knows exactly what she needs, and she knows exactly where she needs to be. And she doesn't say a word. You can imagine that as much as Jesus knew this Pharisee's thoughts, he knew her thoughts. And as much as he knew what the Pharisee was thinking, she didn't have to say a word. She's right where she needs to be, at the right place, at the right time. And then Jesus goes in to punch the Pharisee in the face with a story. He says, hey, listen, there's a moneylender, and he gave out one 500 denarii, and he gave out another 50 denarii, and he forgave both debts because they couldn't pay. Which one would be more thankful? The first is like, hello, it's the one who had the 500 debt. Of course, Jesus is making a point here, because in verse 44, it says this, and then turning to the woman. I don't know, man, I just have this picture in my mind of this woman who's just lost it. She can see the stares at the table. She can see the eyes of the Pharisee just really just going right through her, going right through. Oh, if we only knew who invited you to this table. Why are you in my house? And then I believe that she saw a whole different look when Jesus turned to her. How many times has she had men look right through her so that they could use her? And you've got now Jesus truly looking right into her. And I believe it was eyes to say, I see your pain. I see your hurt. I see your brokenness. I see the abuse. I see the betrayal. I see your loneliness. I see you're desperate. He says this, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. It's amazing that he's actually speaking to the Pharisee here. But here he's actually speaking out loud. Could you imagine her ears picking this up, going, hey, 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 look at what she's done for me. She's walked in your place. She's anointed my feet. She's wiping. She's cleaning with her hair. Since the moment she got here, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. Hey, 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 since I showed up, you did none of that for me. You disgraced me. You dishonored me. You didn't do any of that for me. Look at what she's done. Watch. Her sins, which are many. How can he say that? I know your brokenness. I know your pain. I know your hurts. I know your struggles. I know every time you gave yourself up. But you have been forgiven. What? And here he's, I believe he's looking now into the eyes of this woman. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Church, what happens when you and I really understand this, that she's no different from us, all have sinned and I fall short of the glory of God? What happens when you really understand we're not better than anybody? Just because you're saved don't make you better. It should drive us to be like Jesus. It should drive us to know there's hurting and broken people all around us, to not look and judge on the outside, but know there's something that drove you to this place. There's a hurt and there's a brokenness and there's a betrayal and there's loneliness and you are desperate. Something got you to this place. What happens when you and I stop looking to be like the Pharisee and you and I come to a place to truly act like Jesus? To wear the high heels of a prostitute. Put ourselves in their shoes. And let your heart be broken from people who are desperate and broken and lonely and hurting. Sometimes circumstances that they just cannot get out of. What happens when they find themselves, come on, right before you? And you and I are called, commanded to love them just like Jesus. What happens when you lead with grace? Verse 49, here comes the judgment again. For those who were reclining at the table with them began to say to themselves, who is this man that he forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Church, what happens when you come to a place today? So, man, maybe I'm not walking in prostitution, but man, there's a brokenness. I'm desperate and I'm alone. And maybe not in the pain of what she may have gone through. But man, there's a past of sexual sin. What happens when you know? No, I know, man, by the blood of Christ, man, I'm clean. My heart is clean. Where sin abounds, his grace abounds much more. What happens when you can get over and get past your past and you come to a place to really believe? No, I can just see him staring at me and I can see him looking down into my eyes and saying, your sins have been forgiven. What happens to us when we know that? And I am free. Man, there's no more shame on my past. There's no guilt that's going to attach itself to my heart. No, I'm free. There's no shame. There's no guilt. No, I'm free because of the blood of Jesus. Come on, we just stand to our feet, please. And Olivia's going to sing. And this is one of those songs I wanted to go deep into your heart, man. I wanted to just sink deep.